everybody, and welcome to DC Talk. This is July 4th, 2021. Happy Treason Day to all of us ungrateful colonials. And
yes.
Oh, happy Independence Day to all you listeners out there. And I knew that would probably make Carrie really happy if I did that. And yeah, I'm so excited to be talking some DC news. It has been a long month of June for us. And thank you all for bearing with us and all the hiccups where it's just Carrie or it's me and Carrie and just in and out, in and out. And the fun is still not over. We have one more week of that. So next week, you will not hear from me again. I know it's okay. That makes your podcasting better. And but Carrie will be here next week again, and she may or may not have a co-host. Who knows? I heard you know King Shark is available, and I mean he likes to point out birds. So bird. Harley's available, if that'd be more interesting discussion.
Oh, that could be interesting.
That'd be a very unraveling discussion.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, but Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm actually very proud of you, Mike. You know, wishing everyone happy Treason Day. I mean, I mean, if you wanted to, you know, talk to all the colonizers, of which we're probably both colonizers at this point, that works too. But you know, Treason Day is also fun. Some of my relatives, if they're listening to this, might be yelling at me or blocking me or disowning me at this point. But who knows? I don't think any of my relatives actually listen to this.
I haven't blocked you, Carrie.
Aww.
I know. And you know one place you shouldn't block is randomchatter.com. You guys need to go there. We are a proud member of the Random Chatter Network, and we love talking DC. And randomchatter.com has links to all the other shows that we do on our network. I encourage you to check those out. So, with all that being said, Carrie, did you watch anything good this past week before we move into some news? Because we don't have a lot of today.
Yeah, you're right. We don't. I mean, I just finished Justice League versus the Fatal Five. We'll be talking about that a little later. I started watching Troll Hunters, which is really fun. It's created by Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
The second series based off of a novel that he's co-created. The first series being The Strain, which is a completely different thing. But if you watched the second Hellboy movie, there's a lot of design similarities to some of the stuff that's in this. It's animated.
Okay.
It's also Anton Yelchin's last project. So it's kind of sad watching it from that perspective because Anton tragically died. Oh, I think it was like 5-6 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
So that was, but he is the one who played Chekhov in the JJ Trek reboot of Star Trek.
Okay. Huh. Okay. Let's see. I watched Fast 9 last night. Went to the theaters and saw that, me and four other people, no total in the theater. I didn't know them. They're just me and four other people in the theater. And, let's see, I snuck in my box of Mike and Ike's because they don't have them at the movie theaters and I like Mike and Ike's. And, so let's see, just don't tell them that. And, I'm trying to play catch up since I was out for a week and not able to watch anything on TV for a week. So I finished the Batwoman season finale.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
You know, it was interesting. It was interesting. I'm looking forward to Luke Fox's character development next season. I think it's going to be very interesting. I noticed the poison ivy at the end.
Either
poison ivy, or we could be getting. I know people said poison ivy, and I get that. But I kind of dig in some vibes of like Swamp Thing. I mean,
you just have Swamp Thing on the brain, but
probably.
Considering that was a collection of trophies kept from Batman fighting supervillains, it's probably more likely to be Ivy.
Or it could be
a relative of Ivy,
Floronic
Man.
Yes, Floronic Man. That'd be an interesting development to have.
Possibly, but I mean, they've been doing some stuff with like they what came out and said that Enigma was Riddler's daughter. A couple of episodes ago, so maybe they're doing like relatives of
the main villains
which could be interesting. I kind of liked how Black Mask tried to go all V for Vendetta and
yes.
failed spectacularly.
Oh, that was terrible. That was so bad. I did like how they kind of wrote Kane Kane off the show.
Well, they haven't said whether or not she's gonna be back. I like the idea that she's going to go find Bruce.
But they've given her an exit that she
They've given
needs.
Her an exit. They've also right. given they've also given her a chance to show up on Supergirl before that show ends.
Right.
Could be interesting.
To the end of that, I'm about a little over halfway through The Flash. I haven't watched Loki from last week yet. I haven't watched Bad Batch. To be honest, right now, okay, I know I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm looking at a wall of Star Wars memorabilia in my downstairs cave right now. But just to be honest, Bad Batch has not been one of my favorite shows so far for Star Wars. I'm kind of can't wait to get this episode done with so that I can be done with the season. I know that sounds terrible for a Star Wars fan,
the season's not done.
Oh, dude. Man. See, I thought it was.
There's I think six more episodes. I didn't check. But, did you see the teaser for Star Wars Visions, though?
No, I have not yet. I've been out of the world for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, there's six more episodes, dude. Sorry.
Oh, boy. Here we go. But, you know what's even more crazy?
What?
Is our first item in our news carry. So how about we dig into some news? You mentioned it last week, and I want to talk about it. So let's go to some news.
Right. Okay. So I did cover this last week, but obviously Mike wasn't here to give us his comments. The final Suicide Squad trailer. Mike, what do you think?
So I've been thinking this whole week when I saw that put on here, I was like, man, I really need to rewatch this trailer one more time before I actually talk about it. And then as I'm watching Fast 9, what shows up? But from the brilliant mind of James Gunn, the Suicide Squad trailer before the movie I'm trying to watch.
Ask and you shall receive, dude.
And I'm watching the trailer big screen. So, I mean, what could be even better? So I'm watching this trailer and I'm sitting there thinking, this is going to be nuts. Like, this thing is going to be absolutely ballistic. And like, two things really stuck out to me in that trailer. Number one, I think John Cena is on his best when he is in comic gold, when he's able to do comedy. So his whole comment when Amanda Waller is just going through everything and doing everything, and then she says, any questions? And he just raises his hand real quick, and he says, yes, question. Starfish is slang for butthole. Is there any relation here? and everybody just kind of looks back at him like, really? He's like, nope, nope, nope. And he just writes and marks it off. And then just Killer Shark. I mean, King Shark, man. Everybody's talking on the walkies about how they're going to rescue Harley or whatever's going to happen there. And he just says, bird. And he's looking at a bird on a perch. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just going to be comic gold. I'm loving it.
I mean, I'm not the hugest John Cena fan, but I don't understand the John Cena hate, much like I don't understand the, you know, Amazing Spider-Man hate or the, you know, sequel trilogy hate, or like, this is what you're gonna, this is, these are the hills you're gonna die on, people. Seriously?
Well, certain actors do certain better in certain roles than others. Like John Cena, for example, in his serious roles, like he did in like the Marine movie way back, he doesn't do good in those movies. But the comic movies, he is way down on perfect. Mm-hmm. And so this is just a perfect role for him. I just got done watching him again in Fast 9, and it was a little awkward watching him play something serious.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that John Cena is a comedian or anything, but some comedians do serious better than others. I mean,
yes.
Melissa McCarthy can get serious, and she can get freaking scary when she's serious. Robin Williams also could get really serious and very freaking scary when he got serious, and stuff like that. So, you know.
But as far as this movie goes, I'm looking forward to it. I know it'll be on HBO Max, so I won't have to go to a theater to watch it. I can just watch it from the comfort of my very own home.
Oh,
without paying Premier Access Disney Plus.
but the rate for HBO Max is more expensive for Premier Access. It actually kind of all washes in the end.
Yes.
I was going to say though, whether I go see this in the theater is going to depend on where our transmission rates are at in August, because we're kind of ticking up a bit. Not that I'm worried, because I've had my shots, but you know. But my other question was, they're sending the Suicide Squad after Starro.
This could only bode for issues.
Yeah, I mean, Starro is kind of like one of those things that you send the big guns after, you send Superman to like incinerate most of him and get the rest of the Justice League to finish him off, because when I did the character profile, remember, you have to get all of Starro or you don't get Starro.
Right.
He's like Kudzu.
Right.
It's like Kudzu, because he's a non-gendered being.
Yeah, and I mean, you got Harley. I mean, you got Harley could take care of Starro.
Assuming Starro doesn't take over Harley's brain first, because that's one of the issues. Like, you know, Starro can take over people's minds, and maybe that's why they're not sending the Justice League after
right.
Starro.
By the way, that comment when she got on late onto the plane in the trailer, and she's sorry, I had to go potty. and then it talked about the dog, and like, no, he's just a werewolf, and just that whole comic scene there is just funny to me. I mean, it's gonna be great. It really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see what happens in just a few weeks.
Yeah, and then the other item that I knew Mike was going to want to talk about is the Smallville animated sequel series.
Freak, yes, I am so excited about this. I saw this, and when Tom Willing let it slip.
Yeah, accidentally.
Accidentally. I am so down with this. I love everything. Now, obviously, we're not going to get Allison Mack, for obvious reasons. By the way, I think her sentencing is coming up.
No, it already happened. I think she got 3 years.
Right. It was like last week. It was like really, it was just recent.
Well, okay. So not to get too far into political and real world context here, but she was basically sentenced on the same day that Cosby got out. And that Britney Spears' conservatorship was upheld. So there's a lot of Michigas on the interwebs about, you know, the inherent sexism of the legal system at the moment. But, you know.
Yeah. So it was just like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
She got sentenced to that.
Yeah, like I said, she got sentenced on the same day that Cosby's conviction got overturned, and Britney Spears' conservatorship was upheld. So, like, okay, yeah, this goes well.
So she pleaded guilty to the racketeering charges.
Yeah.
So okay. Anyways, so I love this idea to get Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum back on, mm-hmm. even if it's just a sequel animated series. I'd love to see what's happened to them after all this has taken place. Oh, yeah. After season 10. So,
well, also Michael Rosenbaum doesn't have to shave his head for this.
That's true. So I love it. I'm excited for it. Obviously, it's exclusively in the pre works stage right now. So give us some time. We'll get more details as they float out for a Smallville animated sequel series. I love it.
Okay, moving on to more current news.
Yeah,
this one was kind of up in the air after the Batwoman finale, but now looks like it's been confirmed that Gregory Scott will be leaving the show after this season.
Yeah.
He will not be back for season 3. Although, that could be an interesting bit of crossover there, since his trial was moved, since he was moved to Metropolis to await trial.
Right. The only issue I have with them moving it to Metropolis is the fact that even though Supergirl will be back for the last half of the season, I don't know if I don't know if they knew he was going to stay or leave before they filmed the back half of Stargirl. Not Stargirl, but Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But also he went to Metropolis, not National City.
Okay. So Superman and Lois. I'm sorry.
It's okay, dude. We know you're tired.
So here's my thoughts on Batwoman right now. I'm kind of concerned about the show, because there's been a lot of casting turnover, in the show. You know,
not really, not that much.
You've had the main character, you've had the main actress, then you've had this one. Then you've had some other turnovers. I just don't know the future of the show.
No, actually not really. We haven't really gotten that much turnover. I mean, Alice is still around. Luke and Mary are still there. Mostly the main cast is still there. It's just Kate and Jacob that are gone. And for good reason at the moment.
Right. Okay, I can do that. I feel like season 2 had its highs. Like, I really enjoyed seeing Luke Fox in the suit. I thought that was freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I really dug that. I'm wondering what they're going to do with Beth going forward. Because I don't know how much of a role left she has. I think there's still something there they could do, but I don't know as far as Beth. I think with the finale set some things up for the next season that could be very interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They play them out. If they spend like a whole season going after the items that were I'm trying not to spoil it.
That could be interesting in and of itself.
Other people getting those items and somehow gaining some kind of their essence from those items.
Right.
And then having to do a kind of a faux wood type or faux villain type of thing for next season.
And also Black Mask did not get killed off.
Right.
And it looks like his mask is going to be permanent now. So
I will
spoil. What?
He yelled Janice in the cage.
Oh, yeah.
Janice?
Well, Janice was his company's name.
Oh, I know. I just remember him screaming Janice. It's funny though that you know what the subtitle said? It didn't say Roman Sionis in that scene.
It said Black
Jacob,
Mask?
No, it said Jacob Kane.
Well, that's
weird. I think the
weird subtitles
were messed up.
I think you're right.
So that's why I was kind of like, okay.
Huh. Weird.
So.
All right.
Okay.
In some additional CW news, Flash has confirmed that Daniel Pennebaker, Jesse L. Martin, and Candace Patton are going to be signed contracts for season 8. So they're still going on season 8.
Is Grant Gustin still signed up for season 8?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was his contract was supposed to run through season 8.
Okay.
And then we don't know what's going to happen after that, but we'll find out, I guess, soon. Yeah, of course, also,
you know me, I still have my theory.
I know you do, but we'll see. Also, Superman and Lois has promoted Sophia Hasmick to a series regular for season 2. She plays Lois's boss at the paper, Chrissy Beppo.
She's an interesting character. She reminds me of what's her name? I can't remember her name. Man, and I'll think of it. I can't think of it. I know her name. I just can't think of her name.
You'll think of it as soon as we're done recording.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then our last bit of news is something that makes Mike and I very happy. Justice League Snyder Cut Blu-ray is coming September 7th.
Sweet.
And this is I don't get a whole lot of physical media these days, but this is probably something I'm going to drop some money for.
You know, I did you see the one that they have with the Man of Steel, BVS, and the Snyder Cut?
Yeah, I did.
If I did not have the other two, I would buy that one.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
But I'm so glad. I know there was talk that they weren't going to do a Justice League Snyder Cut on hard media, but I'm really glad they decided to do it because it would have felt. Now I can take that other Justice League and kind of move it to the side and put that one next to the Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I think as I said last week when they announced that the when they announced this originally was that, you know, now we might actually get some hard numbers about how much money that makes, and maybe that will help. Maybe hopefully that will help
Warner Brothers
light a fire under Warner Brothers, which would be nice. Although also, I don't know that the fan base, at least on Twitter, that have been calling for the release of the Snyder Cut have kind of gone the way of like Star Wars sequel trilogy hate and bring back Legends and stuff like that. And it's making me a tad uncomfortable. As much as I would support them, you know, bringing back the Snyderverse and letting Zack Snyder continue on with his story, the flavor of fan base that's behind the movement mostly, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other people, I know you're not
one of them.
One of the rage fans.
Like give it to me, or we'll burn your studio to the ground, kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of making me uncomfortable, in the same way that certain sectors of Star Wars fandom has made me uncomfortable lately, and it's just like, I can't even.
Oh, I agree. But I will say, I do appreciate the fact that we are getting this pre-order, that we're able to buy this, and it looks like the pre-orders for this one will start. They are live now. So if you want to go ahead and pre-order it, go ahead and pre-order it. I'm probably going to pre-order it just because I can. I don't know if I'm going to get the Steelbook, but I am going to get the Blu-ray DVD and digital copy, which I'm assuming they're going to have a digital.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it's currently, Best Buy has it for $30 right now. It's $50 on Amazon. The Blu-ray edition is available on Best Buy and on Amazon for $24.99. Mm-hmm. So I will probably go dig that one. Or if you really want to spend all the money out and you want to get the whole vision, you can get the Everything in 4K Trilogy 4K Blu-ray set with the pictures, the special box, everything for $85 on Amazon.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, I don't have that kind of money.
Oh, some people will have that money and spend.
Oh, I'm sure some people will have that kind of money and want to pay that kind of money. I just don't have that kind of money.
I agree. So, all right. Well, anything else then?
No, I think we should move on, because I know you've been chomping at the bit to talk about our character profile this week.
Yes, so we've kind of padded a little bit of time out because we was not going to be a very busy episode this week. So that's why we kind of talked a little bit about what we watched and some other things about the shows. But what I really want to get to is our Gideon's character archive.
Yes.
This week, in honor of Justice League versus the Fatal Five, I decided to do it on one of my favorite Green Lanterns, if probably not my favorite Green Lantern now, is Jessica Cruz. This movie actually introduced me to her a while back when it first came out, and I had never heard of her. And watching it again, I'm still 100% sold on this character. And I love this character. I cannot wait to get a live-action character of her in the Green Lantern show, but more about that in a little bit. She is very new. She first appeared in Justice League Volume 2, issue number 30, back in 2014. She was created by Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis. Just a little bit about her. Jessica Cruz went on a hunting trip with her friends, and she came across some mobsters who were burying a body. And we actually kind of saw that a little bit in the Fatal Five movie.
Mm-hmm.
Unwilling to have witnesses, the mobster shot and killed Jessica's friends while she managed to escape. But she was extremely traumatized by the incident. So we did see that as well. We also saw in the movie, too, that she developed a debilitating anxiety and locked herself in her room for 4 years. So we saw a little bit of her anxiety in the movie as well about going outside. During the crime syndicate's rule, she was unwillingly chosen by the ancient ring of Volthoom after its former bearer, Harold Jordan of Earth 3, was killed by Sinestro. Unlike the ring's predecessors, the ring itself forced itself upon Jessica and took over her body, and it chose Jessica for succumbing to fear and not overcoming it. So under the influence of the ring, she attacked her hometown and was confronted by the Justice League and Doom Patrol, which we need to get that live action, please.
see
the Doom Patrol confront her. Through the intervention of Batman, Jessica was able to overcome the ring's influence, and when he told her that he was a victim like her and that finding strength, even at the worst moment of despair, will overcome their fears. So she was able to overcome the ring's influence after dealing with Batman, or talking with Batman, which is great. Allying herself with the Justice League, the Flash called in Hal Jordan, Earth's first Green Lantern, to teach Jessica how to stay in control of her ring.
Whoa. What happened to Alan Scott as being the first Green Lantern?
I don't know. All I know is that they called in Hal Jordan to help teach her how to control the ring.
Okay.
I'm just going with what they told me.
I believe you. I'm just a little worried here because, you know, That's not entirely accurate, but I mean, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Well,
and you guys can go back to our character profile of Jade for more information on that.
Well, it could be with the rebooted version of the New 52, they threw Hal Jordan instead of Alan Scott.
Maybe.
But I know in this version they said that it was Hal Jordan that came to teach Jessica how to stay in control. Mm-hmm. She mastered the use of the ring. During the Dark Side War, Jessica sacrificed her life to save Flash. Though she didn't die, her ring was destroyed in that moment. But due to her ability to finally overcome fear, she was offered a real Green Lantern Corps power ring. Let's see. Alongside her partner, Simon Baz, Jessica is now one of two Green Lanterns assigned to protect the planet Earth and the other planets in the sector of space.
I wonder what happened to the other Green Lanterns.
I don't know. I will say that in a series called the Justice League Legacy series that came out in 2017, which is very interesting, Jessica and Barry Allen had a child together and named it Nora Allen.
What happened to Iris?
So this is like a alternate timeline.
Oh, okay.
It was really weird. It was like an alternate timeline, the children of the main heroes on the team. And but Barry and Jessica have a child named Nora Allen in that one.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's just a little bit about her. Some of her powers, you know, she has the Omega effect after she was killed by Darkseid's Omega beams. Jessica's body became saturated with the Omega effect, which the shards of her Green Lantern ring used to resurrect her. Actually, following her connection with the Omega effect, Jessica can actually now project Omega beams from her hands. Yes. She's got the power of flight, obviously. She's got the power of summoning. Due to her being the last person to wield the Ring of Volthoom, Jessica is capable of summoning the power of the Green Realm and banishing others to it in turn. She's a master person in firearms, hand-to-hand combat, basic. She was trained by Wonder Woman in the art of combat, which we kind of got a hint of that a little bit in the movie as well. She's good at hunting. She has indomitable will, and she has the Green Lantern ring. I still think she's the coolest of the Lanterns, I'm just saying. I think she's got cooler powers than Hal Jordan does. Just saying.
You need to get some familiarity with Kyle, because he kind of sort of became a god for a while.
Okay, I'm going to have to be some more on Kyle. I added another section this time in our character archive, because I think it's important that we show that our heroes do have some weaknesses, too. Uh-huh. And so I added it with Jessica. Even though she has all those powers and strengths, she does have a couple weaknesses. She does have post-traumatic stress disorder. After she witnessed the friends of a murder of her friends, she has suffered from crippling anxiety for years. On some days, rescuing a submarine would be nothing, but on others, fighting a villain with an outlandish costume would be too much for her to process. Mm. She has general and social anxiety. Jessica struggles with anxiety in social situations and in general circumstances. She can quickly spiral into negative, fearful thinking.
I would too if that had happened to me. I think
absolutely. And what I love about is finding that even though we look up to heroes and, you know, we have bad struggles in our life, looking up to heroes sometimes empowers us, because that we can see that they struggle too. You know, it's nice, like, we can see, okay, Batman lost his parents. His parents were killed in a dark alley. Okay, well, how many of us can say our parents were killed in a dark alley? Like, nobody, right?
I know of, anyway.
Right. But a lot of us, at one point or another, has suffered some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder, or we've struggled with general anxiety, or even some of us today struggle with social anxiety. We don't know how to interact socially. And to see our heroes struggling with the real issues going on today, I think, is really important. So I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
She's only been a part of like two groups, Green Lantern Corps and the Justice League, because, again, she's fairly new. She's only about 7 years old. The most notable comic stories are her origin story in the Justice League comics storyline, Rage Planet, A Day in the Life, Green Lantern Rebirth, Dark Side War, and then Halloween in the Phantom Lantern. She has appeared in a few medias. She's appeared in DC Superhero Girls, the TV series. She was voiced by Myrna Velasco. She appeared in the same kind of show, but the web series, voiced by Christina Milizia. She will be live action in the upcoming HBO Max live action show, Green Lantern. I don't know how much of a role she'll have in it, but I'm hoping we get some.
Do you know if they've cast her yet?
I don't think they have, because I did some character fan casting for that one, and they haven't found the actor who's going to play her yet. That's kind of why I kind of threw you some, hey, these people have been fan casted. That's when I was studying who people were thinking. So, no, they haven't cast her yet. She is voiced by Deanne Guerrero, who also plays who, Carrie?
Crazy Jane.
Crazy Jane, in Justice League versus the Fatal Five, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. She's also in the game Injustice 2 and also in the game DC Legends. So she hasn't had a lot of appearances in media. So hopefully we'll get some more of her in that. And that is Jessica Cruz. That's your character archive today, this time.
Okay. Well, so then I guess we'll be moving over to the Watchtower. And since Mike didn't give me a summary.
It's okay.
Give me 2 seconds here.
Give me 2 seconds here.
Hold on.
You think I would have?
That's just okay. Like I said, you've been busy. It's okay. It's okay. I'm trying to find a summary here on IMDb. Hold on. Actually, let me try something else. Where am I here?
Try something else.
Yes, because I can do that. Come on.
Justice League versus Fatal Five. Pretty much five bad guys, and Jessica Cruz rips them all. End of movie. That's pretty much what happens, guys. Oh.
Okay. Here we go. All right. The Justice League faces a powerful new threat, the Fatal Five. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman seek answers as the time travel. Traveling trio of Mono, Persuader, and Tharok terrorize Metropolis in search of a budding Green Lantern, Jessica Cruz. With her unwilling help, they aim to free the remaining Fatal Five members, Emerald Empress and Validus, to carry out their sinister plan. But the Justice League has also discovered an ally from another time in the peculiar Starboy, brimming with volatile power. Could he be the key to thwarting the Fatal Five? An epic battle against ultimate evil awaits.
Yes.
There we go. All right. Jessica, so the reason why I mentioned Kyle when you were talking about Jessica's powers is that Jessica has some ion level powers in this movie.
Yes.
Which I think I'm going to have to do a character profile on Kyle at some point. Because, yeah, Kyle kind of became a god for a bit, called Ion. Yeah. And I think the Ion entity is still kind of part of him. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've been looking at who we've done. We've not done any other Green Lantern. We've only done Jessica Cruz.
Yeah. Well, no, we did Jade. Jade was a lantern.
That's right. We've only done Jade. Yeah, we and Jade and Jessica.
We've done the girls.
Matter of fact, we've done a lot of women in our character profiles. Have you noticed that? Yeah. We've done Killer Frost. We've done Amanda Waller.
That's true.
Jade, Jessica Cruz. Sweet.
Hmm. Nice. We should. Oh, Kyle might be next week. We'll see. I'm also thinking about maybe either Bloodsport or King Shark, but we'll see what happens. Not next week.
Because we have Suits. I need to do Polka Dot Man one time before Suicide Squad comes out. By the way, did you see why James Gunn said he predicted or he picked Polka Dot Man?
No, I didn't.
He said because he is the stupidest superhero in like DC. I saw that this week. Oh my goodness. I thought that was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
He said, oh my goodness. Well, James Gunn explains why he chose Polka Dot Man for Suicide Squad. It was in Screen Rant a couple days ago. And he said, Polka Dot Man is great, but I did think I needed a character who's thought of as one of the dumbest ever. So I went and looked online. Who's the dumbest character of DC of all time? And it was Polka Dot Man. Nice. We've turned that character, who's a sad, pathetic character, to a character who's depressed because people think he's stupid. He's a very tragic. He's a very tragic story that you learn about throughout the film. To be able to add depth to characters who are thought of as the silliest is a fun thing to me.
Okay.
That's what he said about Polka Dot Man.
That is kind of awesome. I love that Batman is the one who says bring it, Skeletor. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Why is this movie so good? And it, I just feel like it shouldn't be, but it's so good.
Okay, I have a theory on this because I love that they revived the JL Justice League Universe Justice League Unlimited score for this because yes. It's basically a continuation of the Justice League Unlimited, but there's it's because this and the previous movie Batman and Harley Quinn are not broadcasted on television. I love how the creators have been freed from the 80s and 90s broadcasting rules. So there's a little more realism to the movies. I mean, how many fatalities can you remember seeing in you know, Batman the Animated Series or Superman the Superman Animated Series or even Justice League?
Right.
They would not even have hinted at an execution style killing in the TV shows. And
right.
we got at least two of them, plus, you know, people getting impaled with actual blood. So
I think this is one of the most real animated movies
mm-hmm.
compared to the live action that we've seen up to this. So I think that's one reason why I really like it. And it's a whole different, like, your whole movie does not, and for once, like, your whole movie does not focus around Wonder Woman or Batman or Superman
mm-hmm.
or even, like, Hal Jordan or we even mentioned, like, Alan Scott. We have somebody who's completely new because if you think about this movie came out, I forgot when this movie came out now. This is great. I love it. This movie came out.
It was only a few years ago,
right?
Because we went over it when it came out.
So this movie came out in 2019. You think? Yep. Okay, 2019. All right. This character of Jessica's only been in the comics for maybe 4 years by now.
Uh-huh.
So to get a newer character that quickly, I think it really, really helped. And it brought the fact that DC's wanting to focus on some characters who don't get a lot of spotlight instead of the same old three or four.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. I don't know how much of a fan I am of the villains. Like, I understand who they were, but they weren't really like memorable villains.
I think they were used a bit in the Legion of Superheroes show
yeah.
that came out a few years ago. You know, Superman and the Legion. But that was a little more kiddish than this
right.
was because it was made for, you know, a younger audience. And it was also television, so I think they had to, I think they were still kind of using the a similar, you know, broadcasting standards. I'm not at all saying that it's good to show, you know, violent death in something that's made for kids, but come on.
Right.
I think we were having this conversation with Eric, you know, about, you know, how many episodes of G.I. Joe are there where, you know, both sides have guns and they're shooting at each other, and but they don't, neither side hits a single target.
Right.
Because that's how, that's basically what the broadcast standards were back in the 80s. You couldn't actually show people getting killed on television or anywhere where a child might see it. I mean, that was kind of the reason, I think, why Phantom Menace had droids, right?
Right, because they didn't want to show a bunch of people getting slaughtered.
Yeah. You can kill, you can mow down a bunch of droids, but make those droids actual people? No, you can't do that. Not when kids are gonna see it. And
right.
This is something that kind of came about kind of in like the late 80s or in the 90s, where when, you know, people started realizing that, oh crap, you know, the never ending story might be a bit too much for a child to handle. never mind the millions of us who are traumatized by Artax back in the 80s.
But that's funny.
If you see the Never Ending Story, you know what I mean.
That's funny. Oh, like, boy.
But still, I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I don't know how much of this stuff I would be, you know, showing any children of mine. But I mean, there's a certain point where parents went from, oh, that's fine, they can watch that, to, no, you can't show my child this, it's too violent. And those of us who grew up on the other, on the pre side of that line, are like, yeah, we managed.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's good. All right. Well, anything else about this? No, it's fine. No, anything else about this movie?
Sorry, rant over.
Carrie's done with the rant, everybody. She's done with the rant. Oh, boy. Well, anything else you got for this movie?
I don't.
All right. Well, in a couple weeks when we come back, we are going to be going over the next movie, Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Nice.
I have never actually seen this movie.
Neither have I.
It's back from 2015, so we're going back a couple of years from what we just went to. But it's
How did we manage to skip this one?
I don't know. I kind of counted them out of order for some reason. But it's supposed to take place in an alternate universe. Very different. They say very different versions of DC's Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, operate outside the law. They are framed for murders of prominent scientists, and the government will decide to take them out.
Interesting.
So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else, Carrie?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, listen, guys, this has been DC Talk, and we've enjoyed talking to you today. And hopefully we'll be back next week with some more DC news. Until then, stay safe, stay cool, and don't work too hard.
Yeah.
So, peace out, everybody.
Bye, guys.